Oh, welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. Kicking off today with Ed Moya, senior market analyst over at Owanda. Now, Ed, it seems like all the markets are kind of in a holding pattern this morning as they all wait to see what comes out of President Trump's speech before the Economic Club of New York. Now, there are some expectations of what Trump will do. These expectations lean a bit more on the optimistic, almost rose-colored glasses type of side of things, where they think that Trump will come out and not push too hard on any country. He might still push on the Fed, but overall, you know what? There's an argument that Trump probably wants a rally into the end of the year at least. But you know what? You never know what you're going to get with Trump. Can you give us some of your expectations and what you think is going to be most important for the markets, at least in the short term sense, when it comes to Trump's speech and what to watch for?
More than happy to. And I think the expectations are for a very constructive statement on the state of the economy, on where trade talks are going, not just with the Chinese, but maybe he'll touch upon the EU auto tariffs. And I think you're going to start to see President Trump is going to try to paint a rosy picture as we approach the holidays. There's growing expectations that this is going to be more of a kind of a pep rally for him, just highlighting the strength of the economy, where the jobless rate is, how wage growth is starting to gain some momentum here, and you know, just constantly, you know, reiterate his or boast about the strength of the U.S. stock market, which is still showing some strong signs. I think we got past earnings season, and everyone is expecting more optimistic tones on trade, and that's kind of where we are with the markets.
Now, the trade is what's going to be very important here because of the back and forth between the U.S. and China, where it seems like China's come out with some more optimistic tone. And then just recently, Trump came out and said, you know what? Well, we haven't agreed to roll back any tariffs. We still don't have any phase one deal signed. Do you think this is still going to be the focus when it comes to trade? Or are you also looking at what happens between China and Europe in terms of that ongoing trade war?
I think that you're going to see the president try to tackle both, but I anticipate the optimistic, I think, strokes on trade with China is going to be a little bit, you know, mixed, because you know they're getting close to the finish line of this phase one deal, and I think that everyone, you know, is easily remembering what happened in May, when, you know, their expectations were we're going to have that May 10th signing. There was all this grand events planned, and then all of a sudden everything fell apart. I think everyone is anticipating that because of where we are with the 2020 election cycle, that the president needs to have this phase one deal ratified, because if not, you'll see those battleground states not get those, you know, agricultural purchases. You'll definitely see that hurt his you know, polling margins there. And I think you see Trump also kind of kick the can on the trade war with Europe, and probably delay that decision on those EU the tariffs on the car manufacturers. So. And EU has, you know, signaled that they're going to, you know, they're willing to, you know, move a lot of that global production to the U.S. So it's looking like the president's going to get a lot of the key wins that he wants to have in place to kind of secure those battleground states. And I think that is going to be the playbook for the president for the next few months. And he's going to try to, you know, dictate the narrative, and he's going to want to focus on the stock market. He's going to want to focus on trade victories while, you know, the Democrats are, you know, pursuing the impeachment proceedings, and we'll see how that develops. But I think, you know, markets are firmly, you know, still pricing in Trump to remain president, and for President Trump to get reelected right now. There's a lot that can happen that can change some of the the polls that we're seeing right now. And I think there's still, you know, a growing belief that, you know, if the economy just continues to be strong, and right now those recession risks for 2020 have gone away completely, it'll be tough to see the president lose an election with what he was able to guide the economy through.
Hey, you have to give Trump credit when it comes to controlling the narrative. He is quite good at that. And when the narrative starts going against him, he's very good at really coming out with extreme comments and changing the focus a lot of what people are talking about. Now, do you think that the S&P, or let's say the general U.S. markets, they're almost predicting a lighter stance on trade, maybe even a deal getting signed, and also the fact that maybe this election cycle, it will be nasty, but maybe Trump will be able to cruise through it and get elected again. Is that why we're seeing this pretty solid rise, really, ever since the beginning of October, still through to today, with the markets continuing to climb and reach all-time highs?
I think that's a big part of it. And then also, too, the narrative is somewhat changing with global growth. I think that there are expectations that we could be seeing Europe start to possibly pick up at the beginning of next year. So I think everyone is focused on some German GDP data, which takes the form of a technical recession. But, you know, some of the forward-looking surveys are highlighting that things are looking a little bit rosier here. So I think that if we do get this phase one deal, it'll benefit China, it'll benefit the Europeans. And if we do continue to see this slight rebound here with some of these economic figures that we've seen in Europe, the fiscal stimulus that might eventually come through could provide another rally here, I think, for those calls for improved growth globally. So there's a lot developing right now, but I think that you're going to see that you know, investors are going to buy beta right now, and they're going to focus on you know, possibly getting some more exposure into Europe. And if we do see this global rebound, I think you're just going to see possibly a continued risk on move, which will, you know, not just be great for the U.S. equity markets, but also I think just global, all the global indices.
Hey, you know what? We have seen a risk on move around the world, and that is noteworthy because, you know what? We had a big move away from risk throughout the first about two-thirds of this year, but it has switched quite dramatically, and that's something that we need to consider and understand why. Now, relating what's happening with the more optimism on trade, the markets moving higher, more risk-on attitude, we have seen the precious metals sell off, and right now gold is fighting with that 1450 level. Again, today it dropped just marginally below there and recovered almost immediately above 1450. Do you think that gold is at pretty large risk right here of breaking 1450 more decisively and testing some lower limits? Or has this sell-off, this correction that, in all fairness, it seemed like everybody was expecting, has finally run, for the most part, its course?
Well, the safety trade is definitely unwinding right now. We're seeing it with gold. We're seeing it with the Japanese yen and the Swiss franc. And you know, some of the other things that you're seeing that's helping drive this move is just the treasury yields have risen significantly. And while the expectations are for, you know, the central bank stimulus from all over the world to provide a little bit of a backdrop here, you know, gold's been hit with some headwinds with just falling safe haven demand as everyone's just jumping on equities. Central bank demand slowed up in China. You're also seeing that the prospects for immediate easing from the Fed has kind of gone away right now. I think the markets are firmly expecting them to be on hold for not just a few meetings, but possibly into the summer. And with the ECB possibly with their new leadership, there's going to be pressure from the Germans and to kind of get away from this negative interest rate environment. So there's been a lot of headwinds that, you know, were kind of the backbone for a lot of gold's earlier rally in the year. And I think though we're going to start to still have investors need exposure to gold as well. Everything is definitely striking positive tones as far as a lot of these global stories, whether it's trade, whether it's political situations, whether it's Brexit. There's still going to be a demand for a safe haven trade, and I think you're going to see gold be the primary winner here. I think that there's lots of concern that, you know, well, the U.S. stock market rally is going to start to run out of steam, and you're going to see defensive plays eventually kick in. And I think gold has been the easiest one that should benefit on that move. And while I think we are still going to probably, we might get another pop here if the announcement of the phase one deal gets if they inch closer to finalizing that deal. But I think once we do see that deal put in place, I am skeptical we'll see a phase two deal anytime soon. And I think that's when you'll probably see stronger demand. So right now gold is vulnerable, but if it can hold that 1440 to 1450 region this week, I think then you'll probably see some more long-term bets start to slowly come back in. So it should be one of the closely watched trades, I think, this week, there's still significant demand for it. It's just investors are just a little cautious right now, as if this level breaks, there's not much support until you get to those psychological round levels. So we could see another $40-$50 easily lower on a slide here today.
Yep, 1400, that's the next level that we all need to look for. And then right below there is the level that it took gold years to break out of, about 1375, 1380 and around there. So still a little bit of weakness we could see in the gold price. But again, hey, you never know. These winds that were tailwinds, now headwinds, they can shift pretty quickly, which is something we've seen just over the last couple months. But you know what? Right now, there's a bit of stuff going against gold. But still this underlying uneasiness of a recession potentially in 2020, now maybe 2021, and hey, just the unpredictability of what Trump could do, and the fact that U.S. markets are at pretty overbought levels right now. But hey, we've seen them maintain overbought levels for quite some time years ago. Ed, great chatting with you. Everyone, click that link below. Go read what Ed is writing over at Oanda on a daily basis. Ed, thanks for your time today, bud.
Thanks for having me.